You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome, travelers. We're aware that your journey was difficult, but prepare to have your questions answered, for you have been granted an audience with the Masters of Mon.
So today's episode, we're talking about, so literally on Monday, and now we're getting to do stuff live, so we're going to be yes. early in response to this. Wizards announced the ban list announcements for this week, or for this season, or the next 3 months. Mm. And they announced, drum roll.
Nothing happened in Modern at all.
No changes to Modern. To the chagrin of every person who purchased $79.99 Stoneforge Mystics. So the word on the street was Stoneforge Mystic can be unbanned. We're going to talk a little bit today about what that would mean for Modern, why it didn't happen right now, where that would be going. They also announced 2 changes to Legacy. So Gitaxian Probe and Deathrite Shaman are now also banned in Legacy, so Modern paved the way on that one. Mm. And we're going to talk about, you know, why they maybe did that and what Modern Legacy bannings mean towards Modern cards and conversations that go there, specifically with Deathrite Shaman of how it's just never going to be unbanned in Modern.
Yes, so there are a couple things to address. Yep. The first one is this is the Masters of Modern podcast. If you guys are listening to this or watching this for the very first time, we talk about Modern on the show. We are the official Modern podcast. Even get some support from Wizards of the Coast. It's pretty sweet. But we talk about all the Modern things. And I'm Ben Bateman, and that's Alex Kessler.
Hi.
Yeah. That's so me. Those are the introductions in case it's your first time watching or listening.
You can follow me on Twitter at Kess Wiley.
And you can follow me at Ben Bateman Media.
We are at the MMCast. You can actually see that right here. There's a little link to that thing. We're at the MMCast on everything, Instagram, Facebook.
Yeah, the bottom of this video. And then the last thing is, if you were watching this on YouTube for the first time, traditionally for the last 175 episodes, you guys have just listened. You might be watching us live. This is like the third time we've done a video show, and we're doing that now. So subscribe, please, guys, if you want to help us out, subscribe to the YouTube channel. That's how we're going to keep doing this and keep it going. So I think there's a couple like really interesting things to talk about as far as the Stoneforge Mystic not getting unbanned, and then, as you mentioned, the legacy points, because there's a couple like really significant parallels, right? The first one is yet another step towards Legacy and Modern becoming one and the same.
Yeah.
It's like every year they get a little closer.
It's going to be interesting because, you know, the conceit here is the biggest platforms of Legacy are Force of Will and Brainstorm.
Completely.
And every other card that's involved is relatively secondary.
Daze is pretty significant, too, just because it's basically...
If Force of Will and Modern, like those two cards were banned or put in the Modern, this formats would look much more similar. I think Daze is important for one or two decks that use Daze, but Daze wasn't a part of Miracles. Daze wasn't a part of these you know, Grixis / Deathrite Shaman decks. So, like, yes, it's important for the Delver decks, but Delver decks haven't really been, as far as I know, and obviously we're not Legacy
experts.
Yeah,
we're not Legacy
guys. Daze hasn't been that significant in the format for a while now, but you know, Brainstorm and Force of Will are kind of the gel that hold that format
Agreed.
Together.
Yeah,
Force of Will keeps every one of the really degenerate things you can keep in the format down a little bit so that they're possible to survive. Similar to how Thoughtseize kind of does that for Modern, and Brainstorm just is the best card in the format, and like likely if it was like in a competitive format like Standard would need to be banned, but because it's Legacy, it's fine.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's funny to call Legacy not a competitive format, in a relevant format, like a relevant tournament format, because Legacy is like not played by a lot of people these days.
Right.
I mean, the thing about Legacy that's so hard, as I talked about this with you yesterday, it's like when Underground Sea is $1,000, like I just can't play Legacy. I have no justification to play it or to convince anyone else to play it, like unless I'm borrowing cards or I can proxy, because like the investment is so preposterously high just to buy 4 Force of Wills and 1 Underground Sea alone.
I think from my perspective, it's always been it's not necessarily even how expensive it is for one person to play, but because it's so expensive for a community to play, to really build a Legacy tournament scene that's nearby and convenient for me has been really difficult. Nightwear, which is a store in LA, does have a Legacy scene, but it's on the opposite side of Los Angeles. And if you watch the Command Zone anywhere else, and we've definitely talked about, Los Angeles is hard to get from point A to point B if they're that far away. So it might as well be in a different state. And so I'm just like never going to go to a Legacy tournament. And, you know, Heidi Ho and the local stores tried building that scene, but 1 to 4 people would show up. And so what's the point in playing that format or even investing in Underground Seas if I'm not going to get to play with anyone?
Yeah, I mean, Legacy's a dope format. Don't get me wrong. Like, I enjoyed playing it when I played it. And I think that the cards are really awesome. And I like... I would love to be able to play Legacy. Like, if Legacy was as accessible as Modern, there are... I'm not saying Modern is just a superior format because of any reason other than exactly what we just talked about. But this episode was started based on the idea that on Stoneforge Mystic, there was a heavy, heavy, heavy hype train in the week leading up to this announcement that this card was going to be unbanned. So much so that the card was up to $75 midweek because people expected the unban.
And it's an interesting thing. I mean, basically, and we can get into this in a second after we do a few more shout-outs, but... Stoneforge Mystic, for all intents and purposes, is probably fine to be unbanned in Modern. It's just, when is that going to happen? And before we get into that, check out the Command Zone. They're our sister podcast. They're at collected.company, which is also the main website you can find us at. You go there. Jimmy and Josh do awesome content. And it's really important that you go check them out because they do really great stuff. Beyond that, make sure to check out our Patreon. So the way we're able to do this podcast, and if we, you know, this video stuff was accomplished because of the Patreon, and we want to accomplish a bunch of more cool stuff as we move forward. So if you guys can help, check it out, patreon.com/TheMMcast.
Yep.
And look at, there's different stuff there, but, you know, us doing cool stuff, us doing more videos, us, you know, we're going to start doing play stuff, and all of that's possible with your guys' help, and we love that you guys contribute to that. You guys are the best. Towards later in the episode, we'll do a shout out where we call out one person's name from the Patreon that's been donating recently, because we really thank you guys. And beyond that, make sure to check out the YouTube channel.
Yeah, the YouTube channel is where
this started. For those who don't know, there was a YouTube channel that had the Masters of Modern podcast. It was the old Webisodes Network YouTube channel that has now evolved into the Kess Games YouTube channel. That'll be more about Battle Bosses, which is a game that we made as a company, and Super Party Battle and other stuff that I'm working on. And then we moved the Masters of Modern to its own YouTube channel so that we can start creating more Magic content. So it's, I believe it's YouTube.com/TheMMcast.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot of really cool stuff that's going to be happening, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But before we fully go down that rabbit hole, I want to stay on the Stoneforge Mystic train, because I think that... I mean, how many ban cycles now has it been that there's been an expectation this was going to maybe get unbanned? Is this the third one?
I believe that this is the, like, every single one.
Well, okay, but so, like, each one... There was a period of time where the conversation hadn't really started yet.
Right.
People didn't really think it was going to happen yet. And then there was when they started to unban cards. So, like, the big unbanning of Ancestral Vision and Sword of the Meek was, like, the first, whoa, we're going to take really, really busted cards.
Right.
And we're going to see what happens.
Right.
And those cards came off the ban list. Nothing really happened. They kind of kept playing with it. The only mistake they've made was Golgari Grave Troll. That's the only one where they've unbanned a card, then they've gone back on it and rebanned a card.
Right.
But otherwise, they just keep unbanning cards. So I think you and I both kind of agree, the ability to unban a power card is like a feather in Wizards' cap right now. They look forward to the ability to do that, to spice the format up when they need to.
It's a big moment for them that allows them to build hype for Modern. And it also is something that mixes up the format enough, even though Bloodbraid Elf and Jace got unbanned, and for like a month maybe they were like things that you would see a lot at tables, and Jun was back and everyone was hyped about Jace, and then they just ended up not doing a whole lot, and they might come back and they have time to kind of build the builds around them. But Teferi has kind of outshone Jace since it showed up.
Teferi's so good.
And you know, Bloodbraid Elf is fine in Jun, but Jun has just kind of followed by the wayside. And so, you know, there's going to be a moment where they want to build hype for this, and so that's when they would make that announcement.
Dude, so yesterday, just speaking of Teferi, just because I've been slowly but surely playing with the card more and more. I played it in Modern a bunch. I got to play it on camera in that deck.
Right.
And one of the formats that I like to play a lot, we've talked about, is Highlander Roulette, right? It's the 100-card format. Mm-hmm. It's like Singleton 1v1. So I have a deck that plays the Painter Servant Grindstone combo in that format.
Okay.
And yesterday, I'm playing against Eric Wydatz, friend of the show, and I play Teferi. And he like looks at it, and he's barely played with Teferi, and he's like, oh, it's pretty good.
Sure.
So I'm like, okay, I go to 5. At this point, he had already Oblivion Ringed my Grindstone early in the game. So I'm like, okay, I'll untap 2 lands. He's like, great. And I'm like, end of turn, I'll use one of my untapped lands to Enlightened Tutor. I'll get Painter Servant, put it on top. And I'm like, on my turn, I'll -3 to remove your Oblivion Ring, get the Grindstone, play the Painter Servant, win the game.
Yeah.
It's just like the ridiculousness of that card, drawing you a card, untapping lands, and having the ability to remove a non-land permanent? Are you kidding me?
Right.
It's like, that's why it's not showing Jace. There are certain characteristics that cards need to have, and one of them, obviously, is removing something other than just a creature. It's like, that card is busted nuts, ridiculous bananas.
And there's a statement to be made that, it, for a lot of reasons, it's a 3-mana planeswalker. I mean, it's a 3-mana planeswalker that you can't play until you can hold mana up for it, but it comes into play, you plus, and then you have 3-mana in play. So it definitely functions on that level.
Yeah, it's a preposterous magic card. So back to the subject at hand, though. It has kind of outshone Jason. So each of the unbannings, while very significant, they haven't gotten to the Stoneforge Mystic unbanning yet. And so this cycle, people really kind of expected, because I think at this point, looking at the state of Modern, it would fit into a couple decks. Here's a question I have for you. Do you think that Stoneforge Mystic would fit into humans as a 3 or 4 of with one Batterskull in the deck, even though it's not a human? Just because it's on curve as a 2-drop, they already play Vile. Like
because of the mana base problem.
Because it can't be cast with the 5 color lands.
There's like 8 lands in the deck that just can't cast it, and if you get that half, it doesn't really work.
That's
a fair point. A new Death and Taxes list comes out that's like more of a mono-white. Greg's laughing because I just put in the chat because my phone's about to die, and that's how we're recording this, and so we need the charger, and so he's going to get it for us, and I mentioned it to him in the chat.
He's sitting right there.
I know. That's not my bag. That's Ben's bag.
That's my bag.
All right, so back to what we were talking about. In my bag.
Yeah.
In the other room.
Yeah. Killer. Thank you, Craig.
Thank you, Craig.
We love it.
Craig also put a bunch of unglued cards that I got from him in your bag because he thought your bag was my bag, apparently. But back to what we were talking about. You know, Stoneforge Mystic will make a bunch of cool decks happen. Death and Taxes lists, Stoneblade lists, you know, probably a version of Cobblade comes back in some cool way. Because the ability to flash in sort of Feast and Famine and then attach it to creatures with Jace still around, it like makes the thing that makes sense. That might be too slow even.
Yeah.
That's kind of everyone's point is, how good is Batterskull when people, you know, the two most played decks in the format, one is humans that Batterskull might be a little bit bad for, but that's a good thing. Humans needs a little bit of a notch taken out of its belt.
And Hollow One's like, sure, I'll trade my 4/4 for your 4/4. No problem.
Hollow One laughs. The fact that on turn two you can have like 4/4s in play,
yeah,
and people are like, yeah, but on turn three you might get a Batterskull, is like,
yeah,
so
the power level of the format continues to grow. It's crazy. It's like it just keeps getting better and it's not and better it
would,
and better
it would be good it would be a good right. ability but like
yeah I mean I think that's look every single time they unban one of the power cards, it becomes a little bit more, we are just getting closer and closer to Legacy. Now, I've said this 100 times. Stoneforge Mystic will eventually get unbanned, and it will, when that happens, the format will start to resemble even more Legacy. We aren't ever going to get Force of Will in Modern. They're just never going to give it to us. I don't believe it'll ever happen. I think Daze is a more likely reprint, and I've said before, I think Daze would be a great reprint for Modern because I love the idea of playing Daze with Fetch or with Shocklands. That seems like a really, really cool thing you can do.
Right.
Right? What are you laughing about? People like making fun of us?
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask what. I'm just going to let you keep talking.
Oh, it's just that we like made Craig, the whole Craig thing.
Yeah.
That just happened.
Craig is
Craig's the best. Everyone clap for Craig.
What's the word that Craig's a mensch?
A mensch.
There you go.
Yeah.
He's a mensch.
This is Craig.
Yeah, there he is.
Thank you.
I don't know what. Oh, he's going to be that.
He got
now.
It.
Cool.
He got right, it in sweet, the frame.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So I mean, went back to Stoneforge Mystic. You know, its power level is obviously not the issue. The issue is, when are they going to unban it? And when is that moment best from a PR perspective? And there's a few factors of why it doesn't happen in the summer. I mean, the one thing to pay attention to is there has not been a unbanned card during the summer period in Modern in its history. If you exclude the fact that September 20th once had a card unbanned, and that's technically the summer. But as far as I'm concerned, September is a fall month.
Right.
Like May, June, July, August are summery.
It's funny, continuing sort of the idea of, like, why is Stoneforge Mystic acceptable to unban? And I've been thinking a lot about this recently, the perspective of the power of a card versus its mana cost.
Sure.
You and I have talked about this before, right? The value of a 1, a 2, a 3, a 4, right? Because they're able to push the power level requisite to its mana cost in any format and any set they want to print. And we've seen the philosophy that Wizards has really, really taken is that 4s tend to be pound for pound a lot more powerful than 3s.
Sure.
3 is the most awkward card to print at a power level. It's just they push it, and like Monastery Mentor or like Knight of the Reliquary or like even like the really good one, Tireless Tracker.
Mm-hmm.
3s tend to be... Well, go ahead.
The issue with 3s is always that they have the worst value to getting removed value.
Yes, the mana ratio, exactly.
So like 1-4 sucks, but normally a 4-drop, if you're playing it in Modern, is going to be able to gain you enough value that even if they remove it, you're fine. And
right.
and the way the format is shaked up, most 4-drops are resistant to Lightning Bolt. Most 4-drops, you know, Fatal Push has to work a lot harder to get rid of a 4-drop.
Exactly.
And Abrupt Decay literally can't get rid of them. So that's three of the top 5 removal spells in the format that like have trouble with a 4-drop versus a 3-drop, which Lightning Bolt kills most 3-drops. Fatal Push does the same. Abrupt Decay kills a 3-drop. So it's like in this weird... And Inquisition of Kozilek is also the last piece of
exactly.
that puzzle.
So what's kind of fascinating about that is if you think about it from a design perspective, you're like, okay, we're going to... You know, we're going to push this thing with this new card we want to design. Like Wizards is like, we're going to make this new card. And it really seems like the only times they consistently get themselves into trouble with power level when they make things that cost, one, that do too many things.
Right.
Two, that do too many things. Or they cheat the mana curve significantly so that things that are supposed to cost more than one or two cost one or two, i.e. anything with Phyrexian mana that's free,
right.
Anything with Delve, Stoneforge Mystic being too powerful at two and getting you a second card. But even that, at this point, what's crazy is that now powerful two mana spells are not actually really good enough to stay banned.
They're fine. Like, Tarmogoyf sees some play.
Yeah.
Deathrite Shaman sees some play. Snapcaster Mage still sees a ton of play. Snapcaster Mage is the best creature in Modern.
The idea of a 3-mana sorcery speed spell being too good for Modern at any power level is like, it has to be true name Nemesis level for me to be like, that's an unfair card.
Well,
otherwise,
Stoneforge Mystic is a 2-mana spell.
I'm just saying. The threes are awkward. Like discussions of deck building. Again, the same game, same conversation with Eric. I was just like, he's like, play this card. I'm like, sorcery speed costs 3. It's not good enough. He's like, what do you mean? It's so powerful. I'm like, if it's a sorcery speed card and it costs 3, like, it's probably not good enough for me to play unless it's the best card ever.
And 3-drops are a weird space because there are a lot of 3-drops that see play. I mean, you know, sorcery speed 3-drop, for instance, that sees a ton of play is Lingering Souls.
Totally.
And Kitchen Finks. Both of those are two cards that have, you know, are on my top 30 list of cards in Modern history. And and so, you know, when you look at it in that way, that's a little bit different. But when you really start focusing on getting it down to the 2-drop slot, it's now even becoming competitive. And I think that's the point, is that Modern is very aggressive. And because of cards, and, you know, Brandon Russell asked the question,
do you
think the lack of Force of Wills in Modern pushes the format to actually be faster than Legacy, such that value cards like Stoneforge, Mystic, and Jace aren't as good? And I think Jace's issue is that you can't pitch at the Force of Will. Like, I do think Force of Will in Modern would make Jace better because Jace's third ability in Legacy, and one of the reasons it's so powerful, is that any blue card can be pitched to Force of Will. And so without that ability, then you're just playing Jace on face value, and is Jace good enough in Modern? It's fine. Like, blue-white is still one of the most played format decks in the format, and it is a 2-of in that deck, so it's obviously good enough. It's just not dominant in a way that was problematic.
So here's an interesting thought that I had yesterday, thinking about Force of Will and the various free spells that we don't have in Modern.
Mm-hmm.
So the card Commandeer is a card that people play in EDH a ton, mm-hmm. but never gets played in Modern. I don't think I've ever seen it played in Modern a single time. And I started thinking to myself, is there some way
what does it do?
So Commandeer is blue-blue 5, mm-hmm. And it is gain control of target non-creature spell. So, but you can remove 2 blue cards in your hand from the game rather than pay its mana cost. So it's the blue Fury of the Horde, Sunscour, Soulspike, Allosaurus Rider.
Okay.
And it steals a non-creature spell. So now against humans, terrible, would never work.
Right.
But against a lot of decks in Modern that want to start their turn one play with a Thoughtseize, which is a lot of decks in the format,
mm-hmm.
it's literally going to be a 2-for-1 on yourself to turn the Thoughtseize back onto them and take their next best card with mm-hmm. their own Thoughtseize, which is a 3-for-2. It's not good for you.
Right.
However, with Missile of Griffin and Torrent Elemental, you actually legitimately legitimately have cards in Modern that mm-hmm. if you shut down your opponent's game plan, you'll just cast a 3-3 flyer on turn mm-hmm. 4 from exile.
Mm-hmm.
You gain your card back. If they don't have a removal spell, I don't know if there's a mono blue deck that can take advantage of Commandeer, but I'm wondering if Commandeer is a card that actually should see more play. I was even trying to think, like, what about like against the Death and Taxes deck, if you were to like 3-for-1 yourself to take their Aether Vial or something. How much worse is their deck when you take away their ability to do good things?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not saying it's good. I just was thinking, like, the difference between Legacy and Modern, and people experiment with cards, and just my thought.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that...
<No faith. laughs>
Commandeer needs a lot more support to become a playable card, but it would be a blowout in situations where you can get it to work. And in a deck that wants the Mist Hollow Griffins and the artifact guy that does the same thing and the Torrent Elemental or Torrential Elemental for other reasons, it could see play. But you would need those cards for reasons other than Commandeer to make that work. Not to mention that, not to say that won't exist, but it currently doesn't.
My thought was if you were to play a mono blue deck with Disrupting Shoal and Commandeer and then a range of ones, twos, threes, and fours, like you're playing, like probably like Opt, you're playing maybe Delver on turn one so that like you can play a turn one Delver, flip it, protect it, take their removal spell or whatever. Like, I don't know. Just, I was like, in my mind, I was like, very often people's hands, if they're not playing Jeskai, they have one removal spell and one hand disruption spell. And sometimes you could just coast to victory. Now, this is similar to my Delver Pact deck that didn't work. So, you know, there you go.
Yeah, so maybe. Back to Stoneforge Mystic and its possibility to be in the format. I mean, that's the other part. And we were talking about removal spells for three drops. The removal suite of Modern right now handles Stoneforge Mystic pretty handily. Colgan's Command single-handedly just shuts the card down. It gets rid of Abrupt Decay.
100%.
Fatal Push gets rid of the Germ at a one, you know, cost thing. One of the things in Legacy that makes Stoneforge Mystic better is that removal spells are worse in that format. Because so much of the decks are based on non-creature interactions, cards like Path to Exile, Lightning Bolt, Fatal Push aren't played as much. Now we live in a world in Modern where, you know, creature removal is the most played spell in the format.
Right.
And so Stoneforge Mystic's ability to just like sometimes get a guy where you're like, oh, I play Stoneforge Mystic, I get a Batterskull, you're on Storm, and now I have Force of Will backup and I'm beating you down with a 4/4 Vigilance Lifelink. Much harder to beat. In Modern, it's, oh, I path that.
Right.
I Lightning Bolt your Stoneforge Mystic before you play that 5-drop you put in your hand, and now I burn
and
you out.
And now you have a Batterskull in your hand. Good luck.
Right. Yeah. Or, like, I Kite Sail freeboot the, like, Batterskull out of your hand, and that's, like, the one deck that I think gets a little bit hurt by a Stoneforge Mystic unbanned is Humans, but good.
Yeah, right. It makes it worse. I mean, maybe it gets a little hurt by it, but at the same time, like, maybe not. They just, again, they freebooter and they see your Stoneforge Mystic, and then you cast the Stoneforge, and then you have the Batterskull, and then they like, I don't know, play another freebooter, or they like Meddling Mate. I don't know. I don't think that that's,
Well, I think they can handle it. I don't think it makes it impossible for the win, and there's got to be a human out there that like destroys artifacts. But I think we go into a situation. Good to see you guys producing content regularly. Thank you, Alex. Great
awesome.
Name. but back to Stoneforge Mystic. I mean, you know, power level wise, I think we can both agree that it's fine.
Yeah.
So now the question is, when does Wizards unban it? And Wizards, A, doesn't want to unban a card in the middle of modern PPTQ season. This is a bad time. It hurts every player on the that's like trying to grind PPTQs right now, because they then have to modify their deck to be a different deck than it was because the metagame has shifted so much. By this point, Modern should be stable to a certain extent so that when people are grinding, their decks aren't extremely modified to go through the format. This is the perfect time for that to happen. So by unbanning a card right now, you kind of put a huge wrench into what, you know, a lot of players can afford to be able to play during the season, hurting attendance and making it worse. And then on top of that, you want to use it as an exciting thing for Modern. And so they're going to wait for around the Pro Tour. Obviously, Wizards has made a commitment where they're no longer going to unban or ban things pre-Pro Tour to mix it up. They like have promised that, but that's also, they've added the unbanning after the Pro Tour. So what they've kind of decided is their new system is let's have the Pro Tour, let pros break it. Let's show everyone the cool things you can do in Modern, and then let's immediately after unban something so that the format isn't solved.
Right.
By the Pro Tour, which is kind of a perfect system. And this also then, you know, the three GPs that follow Pro Tour that are Pro Tour themes, the next three GPs are Modern Pro Tour. So then those get to show off Stoneforge Mystic and seeing what it can do. And then you have 3 months before then a PPTQ using for Modern that people can try out playing Stoneforge Mystic and see if it works in decks. And sometimes it won't. I mean, you know, so far of the cards that Wizards has unbanned, one has been problematic, and it took a year and a half and an entire graveyard block to be printed to make cards that made it problematic in Golgari Grave Troll.
Right.
Every other card they've unbanned has, like, Bitter Blossom, done nothing.
Yeah.
Valakut is okay.
What's the most irrelevant unbanning so far in Modern?
Sword of the Meek.
Yeah, right? Like, I've seen, like, maybe a top eight. Yeah. It's like
I've never seen it in a top eight. I don't think it's ever top eighted.
Yeah.
In the format.
Yeah, it's like Goblins level significant in Modern. It's like
less
tier 4.
Because the decks that play it are more expensive. So like Goblin players are at least playing, like, people love Goblins. Goblins is also an inexpensive deck, and it can sometimes just get there and win. So I see a ton of people playing Goblins. I don't see anyone playing Sword of the Meek. It's like Bitter Blossom is closer, but I see a bunch of people playing Bitter Blossom and Jund. I you know, it's one of the things I did earlier when it was unbanned, is just because it makes Tarmogoyf huge. It's like a weird alternative win condition against control decks that they just like can't handle.
Yep.
It's like it's fine. It's like a good card that's a threat in a grindier version of Jund. And
Jeskai has to like bounce it with Cryptic and have another counterspell for it.
Or Teferi Tuck, but both of them are just like, eventually I'm getting this back and this game is going
and
long.
They Teferi Tuck and you still have your 1/1s.
Right.
You just kill Teferi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's good in that matchup. And then Black-White Tokens, obviously, is a fringe deck similar to Goblins that plays a bunch of Bitter Blossoms. And I've seen, like, Red-White, you know, Mardu decks do a similar splash off of Bitter Blossom for similar reasons. Like, it, like, sees play, and Fairies decks are just around.
Valakut's been really good. Valakut's, I mean, the Scapeshift deck is, like, real thing.
I think Valakut is the best unbanned card.
Most powerful.
I think it's Valakut, Jace, or...
Bloodbraid?
It's Golgari Gripjewel is the most powerful card they've underbanned. But I guess excluding that are still legal, it's Jace, Bloodbraid, or Valakut.
We did an episode about this at one point, I remember, the cards that could never be unbanned.
Right.
We had a whole conversation about it.
Right.
And there's only like six, probably. I mean, if you count the artifact lands as their own card.
Yeah, one single card.
Yeah.
We had Corey Burkhardt on the podcast, and he outright said that artifact lands are probably more fine than other cards. I would say artifact lands are safer in Modern. I don't think they'll ever unban them for a PR perspective, but they're safer in Modern than even I say Mox Opal is.
Yeah, I mean, like the most, and just this is just offhand, we're not going to go back down the same conversation, but like the most obvious cards you could not unban in Modern are like Skullclamp, you can't unban.
Correct. Mental Misstep.
You can't unban Mental Misstep. Deathrite Shaman, clearly you can't unban.
Well, yeah, now.
Yeah. I guess Probe, because there's so many decks that would take such advantage of it at this point. Though
I think Probe would be fine. So the place to look at is no banless Modern, and when I look at that, the cards that really pop out to me that are problematic are the first two you said.
Yeah, Skullclamp.
Skullclamp.
Deathrite Shaman.
Not Deathrite Shaman. Skullclamp and
Mental Misstep.
And then like Jitte, I think, is just like an unhealthy card to have available in the format. Maybe it gets unbanned one day. There's always like two guys.
Top is now also illegal in Legacy.
That it could be. I think Top can't be unbanned.
Yeah.
But Top can't be unbanned for similar reasons that like Second Sunrise probably couldn't be unbanned.
Right.
Nothing to do with power level, but every GP on the planet becomes a miserable experience for everyone playing in it, and especially for the people running it. If Eggs is legal as a tier one format, and like they have like, so I think those are like those four cards, which would be Second Sunrise, Top, Mental Misstep, and Skullclamp.
What about Hypergenesis?
I think that's more fine than those four cards,
because Hypergenesis is literally just all that's going to happen is you're going to play the same thing as Living End. It's just going to be
better Living End. Your threats are way better,
and you just put all of the cycling cards from. But yeah. I mean, I guess you just get Emrakul on turn three or two.
It's you play Emrakul early. But it doesn't have Force of Will. You lose a lot of the ability to counter stuff that we were talking about.
But
so.
Even then, again, it's the same thing. You just counter Hypergenesis.
Right.
it's not that good.
And you have, like, in the format to stop that deck, you have just every version of, every blue spell. derailed, but yeah.
Brandon S. Russell asked Cloudpost. Yeah, that's true. I mean,
Cloudpost could be problematic.
It's just better Tron.
Yeah, I think we could put that on the list.
Just because Tron's already so good.
Yeah, I don't.
And Iavugan. You can't do that because if you
ban. No. Sorry, it's not. We're missing one. It's worse than all of those things. There's a lot of cards on this list that can't be unbanned. Iavugan is one. Cloudpost, Dark Death.
And Chromox.
No, Chromox I think would be way more fine than any of those cards.
You think 2-for-1-ing yourself to get ahead is okay in Modern?
I think it's not that much worse than Simeon Spirit Guide.
Yeah.
And I've seen people argue, someone wrote an article on SCG, and I'm forgetting who it was, about Stoneforge Mystic, but then also pointing at cards that could maybe also be unbanned. And his point on Chromox was like, this is never going to be unbanned, but I don't think it's actually too powerful in the format. It just would, like, versus these other generate things, the 2020 Indestructible turn one.
Yeah, it's really good.
Guys is a problematic
thing. It's very good.
So let's not unban those cards, but Stoneforge Mystic should be unbanned.
Do you know what
I think it's happening. I'm going to shot call. It's happening this spring.
One of the things that I've been enjoying a lot of, and again, this last week, I have been playing a lot of Highlander because I've been getting ready for a tournament we have coming up in 2 weeks.
Right.
Dark Death's combo. with claim fame. I've had like several different experiences now where early in the game I've like discarded a claim fame or like tried to reanimate and it's just like sitting in my yard, and then I like end of turn, like crop rotation the second half of Dark Depths or something, or even just like same turn, activate it and then just like claim it, haste, attack for 22 flying. It's like such a sweet play.
That's sweet. I claim the fame is a sad. I wish it saw more play. I think it's better than
so
it gets credit.
Good.
It's like really good.
So good.
Yeah, it's one of the like more underrated cards, I think, that just like doesn't have a home that's good enough.
There's a deck I've talked about a bunch of times when I was doing 10 minutes of Modern before it was on Wizardry Foundry, which is, by the way, you guys can check out. I do 10 minutes of content every day on wizardryfoundry.com on their Facebook.
You want to do some shout outs?
Yeah, I mean, I just we have their grimoire over behind me somewhere. We had it.
Oh, it's behind the battle boss.
It's which is hiding.
Why don't you grab that battle boss thing? Grimoire.
There is a grimoire up there, which you can we could focus on it somehow. Yep. There it is. Yeah, we're gonna focus on the grimoire now. Oh,
there it is. Oh, that's me.
Knocked over the phone. The
camera's going everywhere.
We are learning.
There we go.
How to technical things. And this is also the side of my head. So we can show off the grimoire.
Talk as if you're talking to the grimoire.
I'm talking to the grimoire right there, because now if I look at it, I'm like, hey, grimoire, what's up? How's it going? Oh, I'm good.
I'm good. I'm a book of magic cards. Actually, I use that one to hold all of my excess magic packs. There's a bunch of sweet, like, grab bag draft packs in there.
That's pretty cool. I'm talking to it. It's right there.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to watch this back. But anyway, the point is the grimoire is awesome. Wizardry Foundry is great. But one of the things I have talked about a lot is the idea of this like vexing devil claim fame postmortem lunge style deck. It's like very sort of like black red throw and go. It's actually even more interesting now with Thud having been printed in M19, right? One red sorcery, sacrifice a creature. It's just sorcery speed fling for one red.
Maybe you'll live stream this deck on the Masters of Modern YouTube channel that you can go find and subscribe. And this video will be posted with premium sound. So right now, the sound
premium
is from my
sound.
Phone. We tried getting Max up. It was really loopy. It didn't work. So premium sound on the YouTube channel. Check it out.
Well, also, my my PC computer came in the mail today.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to be streaming MTG on it. And I'll be doing some of my funky brews. Yeah, I've talked about that deck a lot. I had a bunch of conversations with callers when they were calling into the Anchor Show about it. And like, there's a lot of interest in this deck because just Vexing Devil on its own is like an awesome card. Mm-hmm. Like, if you can just dome them for four on turn one and then like turn two, play another one or like a Goblin Guide and also claim it, it's like you just start to get so much value.
What's GPG?
Don't know.
Okay, continue.
So I definitely think that's really sweet. I like would love to build that deck. It seems pretty cheap and fun. I guess you probably also just play Young Pyromancer in the deck, I would guess. It makes sense. You get two spells out of it. You get the one ones, and then you can give like the one ones haste with fame.
Well, we were talking about how that's probably just a good thing.
Young Pyromancer with Claim Fame.
Yeah. When we previewed it, it just does a lot of stuff there. You get two tokens off of it. You can give the token haste. You can, like, do... Yeah, I think it's good.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little weird because it just feels like we're talking about a Mardu Pyromancer deck and just, like, this is just a worse version of Mardu Pyromancer.
Correct.
But I think it's a faster, more aggressive burn-centric version because you're playing Vexing Devils.
Well, it's more budget. So I would love to see kind of us play test it and see how it looks.
Yeah. This will be something I'll stream. God, Pharaoh's Gift, says Brandon Russell. Yeah, it's a good idea. So,
GPG. Got it. Cool. Sweet.
Yeah. There you go.
So Goblin Welder's not in the format, though. They mentioned Goblin Welder and God's Pharaoh's Gifts.
So God's Pharaoh's Gift, I saw, like, I'm trying to remember now, on the Facebook group.
Right.
It's another shout-out, actually, the Masters of Modern Facebook group. You guys could go, like, this is probably streaming live there now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you could have watched this on, this is right now on the MMCast Facebook page, but then we shared a link to the Facebook group. So join both. It's the best way to watch this live stream every week, every Tuesday.
There's, like, literally 5,000 people that all talk Modern, and not only that, but there's a cool pinned link right now that exists at the top of the page that gives all of the different links to the different Facebook groups for certain deck archetypes, because people constantly talked about, like, is there a KCI group? Is there a Grixis Shadow group? Is there a Tron group? And so Alex had the genius idea of posting a link and saying, guys, share your lists right here. This is where you actually find all of your friends that you want to talk about your decks with. So now, instead of just like the page being like peppered with those things, there's actually a single pinned link that has a link to all of the different deck groups. You can go find that on the Facebook group.
Yep.
So, anyway, that's a deck that I want to build, but I can't remember how we got onto this conversation about...
we were talking about what you can't unban and ban, and then it devolved into cool ideas we have with Claim Fame, and then it devolved into a deck idea you have with Claim Fame, and then now it evolved into So back to what we're actually supposed to be talking about. Yeah. So I mean, I think looking at what we're going to be doing here, spring is the time for Stoneforge Mystic to come out. I think that that's going to be a big moment for Modern. Obviously, the next main Modern Pro Tour is around then, though I believe this next Pro Tour has one of its events as Modern. Am I correct on that?
Yes, I believe because we just had, the Standard Pro Tour?
Yeah, and then there's going to be like a Modern, Legacy, and Standard all at once.
Oh,
that's
one
of the reasons they made the Legacy ban before.
Pro Tour thing?
Correct.
Here we go. Yeah, Hagen says that can dig up the list that he, because we had that, that's one of the conversations I had was with Hagen, the Black
Dot Coders. Right.
I think so. The next Pro Tours, that's probably when we will see the Stoneforge Mystic unbanning. I agree.
Either right afterwards or right before, depending on, my guess is it'll be right before based on Wizards, because of how hyped people are to see it unbanned. I think unbanning before a Pro Tour are fine. I think this year they wanted to build trust, so they didn't do it beforehand. They waited until after the unbanned Jason Bloodbraid Elf. This time around, I think they'll be looking into a way to kind of make that happen.
So let's talk financial perspective really quickly. It skyrocketed to 75. I think it's back down to 50 or 45 now. Probably will keep dropping, I'm guessing.
Gets below 30, I would just pick up a playset.
Just buy your Stoneforges?
Yeah, I mean, I've had my Stoneforges since I opened them out of World Wake packs, so I don't pay attention to Stoneforge Mystic prices as much as I should.
I sold all of mine in my pre-buying.
Okay. I have four more of the promos from GPs because I just played in enough GPs that one year.
You have 8 Stoneforges?
I believe I have 8 Stoneforge Mystics, yeah.
That's cool. Hey, I want one of those DCI promo Vanillion clicks.
Okay.
I'm just saying that out loud. I'm trying to put it in the universe.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I want one, so... You know, anybody who wants to.
Nice. Yeah. So I think financially it'll go down, and then right before the next, every ban announcement, it'll probably spike up again. I think the next one, people will be a little bit less willing to jump it up that quickly.
Right.
I think everyone just thought it was going to happen. Because I think Saffron Olive posted about it, and other people were like, yeah, this is going to be what's going to happen. And it just didn't end great. It's obviously not too powerful. That's not the issue in the format. It would be wonderful to play Jason, Stoneforge Mystic again together in Modern. I would be very happy about doing that. I have Stoneblade built in Legacy, but as we mentioned before, earlier in this episode, I'd never get to play Legacy because no one plays it on this side of town. So being able to do that on Modern would be dope. And also, I just think fine. I think you just still lose to most of the other decks that are out there. There's not a real easy way to win with that. Now, talking about Legacy and the bannings there, I think that the Pro Tour that's coming up is the reason they made those Legacy bannings, which is another reason I think Stoneforge Mystic getting unbanned before the Pro Tour makes sense, because Wizards has now shown before a Pro Tour that has the event, unbanning things or banning things makes sense sometimes. And Legacy was obviously between Deathrite Shaman and Leovold and him to Torak and Jace, that deck was just problematic, and otherwise you're playing Delver. The format became pretty degenerate.
Yeah, the four-color Delver lists and the four-color Deathrite Shaman lists were, pretty, ludicrous.
Right.
Definitely,
and that's the problem with Deathrite Shaman. So I don't think anyone is really that sad to see it go. It does mean that it's never being unbanned in Modern. Sorry, world. I could have told you that ahead of time.
That card is so sweet. It's, so powerful. It's just so much fun to play, but, definitely way too good. So it's good that that card is not legal anymore in Legacy, and it's definitely good that card's not legal anymore in Modern. Can we talk about just a thought that I've had as I have been, reading previews for M19, obviously, and Battle Bond and all the sets that they've been talking about,
mm-hmm.
Dominaria. What is the deal with the decision to reprint check lands by Wizards? I don't really understand. It seems like they're getting a little bit... they don't want to design new cool lands.
But I think they want to get them into rotation every once in a while. And I think they do land testing and they're just like, these are fine. And they do cool stuff with other lands in the format. They like printing check lands also when shock lands or other dual lands are nearby. So we have the dual land cycle lands. And so that was kind of leading after
that. Think we're getting shocks when we go to Ravnica's?
Yeah, I think the world thinks we're getting shocks. I mean, we might not. Wizards could totally just be like, nope. That would be surprising.
The shockland reprint's fine. That one makes a lot more sense. If we get a Shockland reprint, I mean, the cheapest shock is Hallowed Fountain, I think, and it's $8 maybe. And I think the most expensive one is probably Steam Vents or Watergrave, and it's 18 or 19. It might even be 20, mm-hmm. depending on the edition. The newer editions are a lot cheaper.
Actually, I think the most expensive one is the red-white one.
Oh, really? Sacred Foundry?
It's the Manlands or the Scrylands, the ones that have the...
Temples?
No, the four, not the Skylands.
Talk louder so that the mics can pick you up for
people
that aren't.
Craig is asking if there's any chance that the reprint that we get are the Manlands, which is a high likelihood, but I don't know if it would be this set.
So either that or if there were the ones that just came out, the cycling lands that have the
types.
But the enemy colors.
Oh, enemy color cycle lands?
Or the enemy colored
cycle lands are
for two basic lands.
Cycle lands yes. is unlikely because the name cycling is likely not to be on. They would have to make cycling evergreen, they might do. I mean, that was, I think, the most popular answer to which card would you make evergreen during the Great Designer Search.
Right.
I still don't think that's likely. I think we're pretty close.
So my answer to the question is.
Michael Grothy says, why reinvent the wheel? Checks are powerful but not broken.
Right. So, okay. I have multiple answers. The first answer is, I'm totally fine that Dominaria brought back enemy colored check lands because it's been years and that was the first reprinting of them. Mm-hmm. So we needed those because, like, I think at that point, Sulphur Falls was getting up to, like, $14, $15, mm-hmm. and that's unnecessary. The ones I was upset about was the ones in Ixalan because, like, the Dragon Skull Summit was already like $2. It's just so unnecessary. They were printed like 4 or 5 years in a row and they had never gone up in price. That seemed like an unnecessary printing. And as far as the question that Craig asked, a master set is more likely to give us the Manlands because we're not going back to Zendikar immediately. And I don't think they really fit for Ravnica. They're really expensive.
I don't think any of their names are specific to Zendikar, though.
Yeah, you could be right. It just that feels to me like Colonnade and Tar Pit are the two, and Ravine, for that matter, are the three that need reprintings.
I mean, all of them name-wise could fit on Ravnica, but I feel like it's a weird thing to print on Ravnica. I think we would be getting those in a set that is differently themed, especially because there's no plot in Ravnica about the land coming up to fight.
Enemy-colored tangos are a place that I could see explored. That's a possibility, but the
Then they print
ones...
all 10. Like, the point is, Ravnica, because whatever land cycle they print, they're going to print all 10 of them.
Yeah.
And I don't see them printing all 10 tangos again. I don't think we need that. I think we might get enemy-colored tangos, but it'll be in a set that is not Ravnica. Ravnica is a 10-play set. You could do Manlands. There are 10 Manlands that they could reprint. I just think it's not as exciting here.
Pretty recent.
I think just Shocklands getting printed into the ground is something they're interested in doing.
This is my guess for the three significant land types. I think that we go to Ravnica and we get all the shocks. I think we get a master set and it gives us the Manlands. And I think we go back to Mirrodin and we get the five enemy-colored fastlands or allied-colored fastlands. That's, I think, probably in the next 2 years, we're going to back to Mirrodin and we will get the fastlands because we need them.
I don't... So it feels like this year is going to be the end of Nicol Bolas's plan. I don't know how much farther that plan goes. Like, over the last 2 years, they've been telling the Nicol Bolas story. You know, he on it was like a preview of it. The prequel to it was Artifact Land Kaladesh, where like Tezzeret's working for him to get him a planar portal. He makes a planar portal, then that gets sent to Ixalan, where Ixalan is where he like Nicol Bolas shows up. Like, it's revealed he's the big bad. And then the last three sets have all been dealing with how are we going to defeat Nicol Bolas.
Right.
And I think that's where we're at. I think, and we all know that that's what basically the first two sets are Ravnica. Like, the next two Ravnica sets, it'll be five of each of the guilds. And then the last set will be like Nicol Bolas unleashes a bunch of Eternals onto Ravnica. Which, if you're going to pick a place to build enemy cycle lands, that's the place you do it. If that's going to happen in this set, and I don't think it will. Or block.
Interesting.
Block.
I mean, I think there's price consciousness in when they make reprint plans, and we talk about sets being designed 2 years ahead of time. They sometimes will be able to make a swap a little late in the game if it's for a financial concern, like swap out a land cycle or
Has that ever happened?
What? Swap out late in the game like that?
Yeah. Can you think of a time where they...
Oh, I mean, not verified. I'm just saying, like, when they'll talk about in the card file, there's three flex slots or something. Like, I guess a whole cycle of lands is different, but, like...
I don't know if I've ever seen them, like, switch out a card to be reprinted for price reasons. Or they've definitely never admitted that, because they don't admit that. That's the thing they don't do. And I can't think of a time where they, like, we, like, get a reprint of a land cycle, and then they're, like... The closest we've gotten is, we had this really cool idea for a land cycle, but, like, last minute we realized it's too powerful, we couldn't get it to work, so we swiped in the check lands. Like, that's more often what I've seen.
This is just a called shot and a guess, but, like, okay, I look at M19, and I'm like, Crucible of Worlds, Scapeshift. I'm like, okay, this makes sense that these cards are getting reprinted, because obviously these are expensive, mm-hmm. and they're kind of generic, so mm-hmm. we can put them in the set. You don't think that the initial conversation was, okay, so we need to have an EV balance of the set, and these haven't been reprinted in a while, so they'll probably be around this price-ish. Let's make sure these are in the set. And then sometimes late in development in the set, they're just like, Feels a little low value. Let's switch out this card for this because this needs to see a reprinting too. You don't think that conversation has happened? Because I guarantee it has.
I think sometimes they have a conversation about what the value of a reprint is, but I don't think they ever last minute add a reprint into standard. I think if they're going to make a reprint, it's going to be something they test thoroughly, and they're very aware of what they're putting into standard.
Fair.
I don't think. I think the opposite happens. Yeah, Master Sets, they might throw out something randomly.
Okay, that's fair.
I think in Standard, the thing that's more likely is, oh, this reprint is too powerful. We have to cut it. What's a generically bad card we can put in?
Got it.
So, for instance, Counterspell and Lightning Bolt, I believe, were in Dominaria for a couple months or a month.
Counterspell? And then, actual Counterspell?
Yes. They've said it's on the mothership. They've stated that the Counterspell was in the set, and then they're like, nope, this is too good.
Counterspell in Modern?
Yeah, that was a thing that could have happened. It likely now will never because they tested it. And it didn't work out.
I mean, let's be honest, guys. Logic Knot is basically Counterspell in Modern.
Yeah.
And it's not even played as a 4-of in every deck that plays it. So.
Well, you can't. It's different because Delve discourages multiples versus Counterspell where you could just play 4-of it.
Counterspell is bonkers.
Yeah.
But I mean, just, I don't know. Whatever. Anyway. So those are my guesses for land reprints. Anything else we want to address today? I mean, what else is on the menu? You know, obviously.
You should check out Battle Bosses.
Battle Bosses, it's an awesome game.
I want to hold it. Grab the sign. So last week, for everyone that watched, we previewed the fourth boss to be available in Battle Bosses. This is the game that Kess, my company, and I created, and Craig has been helping working on it. Ben has been helping working on it. It's like a really cool League of Legends meets Commander meets Magic meets Risk kind of gameplay, where you have a bunch of minions and miniature pieces, and you fight each other, upgrading it with cards. You collect each boss, and then eventually you can go six-player mode, which is like a big MOBA mode. We've released 4 of the first 6 bosses so far. By the end of this month, we'll have all 6 bosses released, and then we'll be previewing it to come play at Gen Con. So if you're at Gen Con, definitely come check us out. And then go to Kess.co, which is the website. There's a Battle Boss tab, which is Kess.co/Battle Bosses, and you can subscribe. Please do so to get updates. We'll send out new updates every Tuesday, and then we'll be doing live streams of gameplay every Thursday.
Yes.
So check it out. Battle Bosses, it's the dopest. You can see other bosses around us. That's Cthulhu. That's Grakthar. This is Mechabot. Up here is Ryu, which we previewed on the Command Zone. Check them out. It's great.
Battle Boss is sweet. I vouch.
And yeah, I think as far as other subject matters in regards to bannings and unbannings, is there a card you... I think the next conversation is banning cards. Like, did they miss on cards that need to be banned? And I think that...
The big questions were Ancient Stirrings is one.
Yeah,
that's a lot of people's.
I think that's my number one.
It's your number one card?
If I were to pick a card that you could ban out of Modern right now, it's Ancient Stirrings. Pretty calmly.
I'm okay with Ancient Stirrings.
The problem with Ancient Stirrings is KCI, Lantern, and Tron all use it to do unfair and arguably unfun things. And do they survive without Ancient Stirrings? I think they do. They're just significantly... They get a notch out of their belt, and I think that's something that might be interested. I think if KCI top 8s more GPs, Ancient Stirrings goes.
That's fair. Yeah, I could see it getting banned before the next Pro Tour.
Yeah.
A swap of that in Stoneforge. That seems like totally fair. I would have maybe also targeted Ancient Ziggurat. I don't know. It doesn't help any deck in the entire format other than humans right now. Mm-hmm. It just means that...
Humans has to play with a slightly worse mana base, which is probably fine.
Yeah, it just makes humans a little jankier.
I want to see what Stoneforge Mystic does to humans before. By banning Ancient Ziggurat, it actually makes it easier. I feel like the... I want to
feel
see
like
how...
humans' mana base could adjust and then find a way to just play Stoneforge Mystic.
Well, maybe. I don't know, because Ancient Ziggurat's not the card that stops Stoneforge Mystic from seeing play. It's the other two lands. So I think that... I would just want to see how Stoneforge Mystic negatively affects the format for humans, and if humans can deal with it, and if they can, or it's too powerful with it, or whatever, then we get rid of Ancient Ziggurat.
Fair.
I think those are the three cards. We talked about what we could ban a while ago, or a few weeks ago.
Wraith is another card that people have talked about.
Yeah, there's Pedigree behind it. I don't think we need it right now. Nothing in the format is making me think that Street Wraith needs to go.
I mean, Hollow One is the only deck that's really insanely busted
because of it. Oh, sure. Yeah, okay.
Cuts down Hollow One, but it doesn't really... I mean, it makes Grixis Delver or Grixis Shadow worse, I mean.
Yeah, I need Hollow One to win a few more PTs to or GPs to really get it into a space where I think banning it is necessary. But we'll find out. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so that's it for the episode. Sorry that the chat cut out for people that are watching this live, and you're probably now watching this on the other feed. We don't know yet. But, yeah, so we're the MMCast. Make sure to follow us on Twitter, at the MMCast. I'm at Kes Wiley.
I'm at Ben Bateman Media. Guys, YouTube is the number one place if you want to go find content expanding. I will be starting my stream. Literally, I think this week I will be launching it. I'm gonna probably go home tonight, mess around with my new computer, and actually try to get my Moto account set up so to get that whole thing going. So check that out. I'll be announcing that, but you can follow me on Twitter if you want to know the news there. We mentioned Kesco, please, the patreon.com/themmcast. That's how we do this thing. This camera was extraordinarily expensive. We spent literally every dollar the Patreon has ever given us on the camera. So if you guys want
to... I think the key here is, you know, we're looking to do more content. By donating to the Patreon, you make it so we're able to do that. We were able to do this with your help, and we plan on doing more with your help. So please go to the Patreon, check it out, and we will make more content. It'll be great.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks for watching. We'll see you same time, same place next week. Have a good one.
Bye, guys.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to the mmcast@rocketjump.com. See you later, alligator.